So with that,
so let's just flesh out some of the details that we've seen so far and keep them in a perspective and a framework. So if you got a chance to see the Gemara Maseches Yevamos and the Tosfos over there, Rashba, I don't know if you saw, I don't remember, but the Rashba in the list or not, but I'll discuss what he says, that essentially, just to kind of plug things back in to Machzik and Me'issa L'Isser, which was one of the major themes really on our Amud here on Tesamud Aleph, that how do we look at the fact that the animal started with a Chezkas Isser, and how does that affect things after the animal has been shechted? So the assumption that after the animal is shechted, we still have a Chezkas Isser, unless we could clarify that the Shechita was done properly. So we saw that Tosfos and Beitza says, well, then it's got to be the Isser Eino Zvucha, because what else are we talking about? Can't be Eivir Menachai, like Rashi says, because Eivir Menachai, we know it for sure isn't, because the animal has been killed one way or another. So why does Rashi here invoke Eivir Menachai? So the Rashi over here explains in his name that this is an example of Machzik and Me'issa L'Isser, that you can continue a chazaka, or I should say here, I guess you're obligated to continue a chazaka, even when the status of the Isser, even when the specific Isser we're talking about changes from one Isser to the other. And apparently Tosus in Beitza at least does not accept that distinction, does not accept that concept. And we mentioned that in addition to other discussions about the general question of what is a chazaka a birur or a hanhaga, or maybe it should depend on what kind of chazaka we're talking about, most likely possibility. But we mentioned the Oneg Yontif that says that that's essentially the question of Machzik and Me'issa L'Isser. That when it comes to that question, if we know that the original Isser is no longer relevant, so it shouldn't impact on the Metzius at all. Right? The fact that we're trying to clarify is, was this animal a treifa? So the fact that it was Usser yesterday because it wasn't shechted yet has zero connection to whether it's a treifa or not in terms of actual statistical impact. So the only reason it's relevant is if we say, well, chazak is not about clarifying any factual reality, it's only about how you behave. While if you want to say that, no, it bothers me to be machzik isli isser, I can only accept such an idea of a chazaka within one isser, so then maybe it's because you're assuming that a chazaka is more significant than just a hanhaga, that the chazaka is meant to actually clarify some reality, and if it doesn't have any relevance to that reality, then it's not going to be meaningful. Okay, so far so good. That's a basic recap of some key points from yesterday. So just to take that further, to take that same kind of framework and now put it back into the question of nuances within Machzik and Me'issa L'Isser. So we discussed that there's a question how Treifa fits into this whole scenario. That the assumption that Rashi is working off of Machzik and Me'issa L'Isser concept is only in that context talking about Nevela and Eivir Menachai. But where does Treifa fit into it? So as we alluded to when we started this, there are different opinions about this. And one of them is the Rashba. And the Rashba is particularly significant because the Rashba is the one who, on our daf in Chulin, brought in this whole concept in explaining Rashi. And he's the only one on our daf that we've seen that actually used those words. So let's try to look at the context in Maseches Yevamos. So what's going on over there? So there, this all comes off the theme which the Masechta Yevamos starts with, that we know if a man is married to a woman and that man dies without children and he has a brother, so the brother is obligated to marry on some level the widow. But if the widow is somebody who is otherwise prohibited to him, I say otherwise because a sister-in-law is also an erva, but that is accepted for the purposes of Yibum. But if she has an additional reason, sorry?
Or Tzara.
Right. So first step is if she herself is otherwise prohibited to the brother, so then the Yibum is not going to happen. She's pater from Yibum. and impossible and pater exempted from, she's like a normal widow and she can marry anyone else. So let's say, for example, if a man marries his niece, a man marries his brother's daughter, and then that man dies, so the brother is not allowed to marry his own daughter, so there's no Yibum there. Fine. Now, the crucial detail that Levi points out, it's not only that widow who is exempt from marrying her own father, but also if she has a tzara. Tzara here meaning a co-wife.
Could cause
taros. Right, well, that's the words that are assumed to be related, right? That it's called that because it's not a recipe for a happy household. Although the Mormons may disagree. Or they call them sister wives, I think. But in any event, so if she has a tzara, that tzara is also exempted. All right, so let's look at this man who has two wives. And now two widows. One widow for sure can't marry the brother. The other widow is also exempt from marrying the brother because of that connection. So what would happen if, let's say before the brother died, he divorces his niece. So he only has the one wife. He has the non-related wife. So she can marry the brother. So if that all happened before the brother died, so then she's not going to be exempt.
She would be exempt
from Yibum. She'd have to marry the brother.
If she was divorced before he died?
If the other wife was divorced.
Uh-huh. Right.
So let's say... right, so we'll call the two wives Nisi and Nachris. Right, because Nachris is what the language of Gemara uses, in this case not non-Jewish, but a stranger means she's not related. So if Nisi gets divorced... So it's only Nachris who's now married to this brother. And if that brother dies, so no reason Nachris shouldn't have to do Yibum with the surviving brother. What if we're not sure if they got divorced? How could we be not sure? So the Mishnah talks about different strange scenarios where it might be a Safek Gerishin. But let's say that's the case. So it's a Safek Gerishin. So, Nachris, we have to figure out whether she is Muteres Lashuk, meaning if she's exempt from Yibum, she can marry anyone else. In Astam. But if she is obligated in Yibum, then she can't marry anyone else. She has to either do Yibum or Chalitza with the other brother. So, what should the story be if we're not sure whether Nisi is divorced or not? If Nisi is divorced, she's off the hook. No, I'm sorry, the way around. If Nisi is divorced, she's on the hook, right? But if Nisi is still married, then she's off the hook. So the Mishnah and the Gemara there talk about what the story should be, but what would you assume should be... So why would you say Chalitza?
There's nothing, no potential issue.
So chalitza is the safe approach, right? So you're saying we have to be chayshish, essentially. We have to assume there is yibum, but because there's a potential problem, so as is often the case in Maseches Yevamos, we say chalitzos v'lo miyavmos, that do chalitza. But why don't we say one way or another, like how do the process of sveikus and chazakus fit into this discussion, Maury?
Isn't also
sabi arisa? Yeah, but that's one, certainly we're talking about Torah law. But where do chazakas or other factors fit in here? Sam, Cheskas wanted to say something.
This is talking about, like, mentioning the time of death of the husband.
Right, but
when
before...
When did this topic come about?
Before coming into that, though...
Well, yeah. the chazaka of all women is that really is that they're usher to you. Isn't that how it is?
Well, usher to who and all women?
Because usher, like... all... all women are in the cheskas iser to a man.
Well, to any man? What do you mean? What sense? Because they're not married to them?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
although that iser is a whole different level, though. Here we're talking, when we say aser,
you mean like the zika is still there, so you can't.
Well, also, when you say cheskas iser, so I don't want to look like I'm being soft on premarital relationship, but the point that we talk about asa, we don't just mean that they don't have the heter of marriage. We mean they are fundamentally prohibited to each other, meaning they can't even, they cannot even get married. That's what we mean by asa, in a more fundamental sense. Not just that they haven't had the privilege of wedlock, but they are fundamentally prevented from marrying each other. Right?
Maybe Chazaka that she's still married, just because that was the previous.
Okay, so that's the question. All right, so why don't we say that this woman should have a cheskes iser? Okay, essentially, she was an eshes ish. So wasn't she prohibited? Until now, the last thing we knew about her before her husband died was she was an eshes ish. So she's prohibited to the world. So really, there are two possible chazakas to consider.
That she shouldn't be only the Yibam.
Right.
Because
the Chazakah
is that her sister, what was her name? Nisi,
right.
Was not divorced.
Right. And therefore.
She, in the case that she's not divorced, then the other woman is Mutter one.
Okay, so that's right. So that's the other competing Chazakah. So essentially, we have two possible opposite Chazakahs to look at. That if we don't know that Nisi is divorced, so then last we heard Nisi was married. If Nisi is married, there's no Yibum here. She's Mutaris Lashuk. So that's a chazaka to say that she should be Mutaris. And that's why we have a suffix here, what to do. So why don't we say, asks the Rashba, and he notes that a lot of other Rishonim asked the question too. Why don't we say, well, let's say there's a Cheskes Isser on this woman. Because she was last known to be an Eishes Ish. So essentially, what would that be an example of?
Rashi's.
Essentially, right? Basically to say that if we were to pay attention to her cheskes eishes ish, so then it sounds like that would be an example of machzikin me'yisr li'yisr. Right? Because let's look at the fact that the last thing we know about her is she was an eishes ish, and say, therefore, she's asur. So now, if I want to figure out if she's asur l'shuk because of Yibum, let's still say that that chazaka should apply. So, isn't that machzika mi'yisr li'yisr? So, if you don't like the whole concept of machzika mi'yisr li'yisr in the first place, so maybe you'll say, I don't believe in it. But, asks the Rashba and other Rishonim, what about the fact that in Chulin we see, Rashi doesn't spell it out, but Rashi apparently does hold from Machzika Me'yisr Li'yisr. Right, that apparently there is some room to say that we can take a status from one Isser and carry it over to another Isser. So in other words, the Rashba's question is, if we can take from Eivir Menachai and carry that over to Nevela, why don't we also take from Eishes Ish and carry that over to Yibam? Follow the question? No, you don't follow. So basically, his question is like this, that we see from Rashi on Ardaf that the fact that an animal was Eivir Menachai is enough to grant it a Cheskes Isser that still counts when it comes to the question of Nevela. So even though they're different Yisurim, we grab on to the last Cheskes Isser and we continue it, so Machzikin Me'yisr Li'yisr. So why don't we say also, in the context of this question of Yibum, here we have this woman whose husband died, and we don't know whether she's obligated to marry his brother or not, because, on the one hand, we know at one point she was pater, because she had a co-wife who was Nisi, and we don't know what the status is of that marriage, so we don't know what the story is. So ask the Rishonim, why don't we say, again, Machzikin Me'yisr Li'yisr. Just like with Nevela, we looked back to Eivir Menachai. So too, with Yibum, let's look back to Eishes Ish. It's a different Esser? Fine, Machzikin Me'yisr Li'yisr, like Rashi implies. That's the question.
Maybe that's only the first Chazakah stuff.
Yeah. But why don't we go back to that previous Esser the same way we go back to the previous Esser of Eivir Menachai? That's essentially the question of the Rishonim.
What was the second possible Chazakah that we're doing?
So the conflicting Chazakah, which seems to be more relevant to us, is that she had a cheskas heter, because when her other wife was an erva, so she's free. And that's all we know about this other wife, because we're not clear on her divorce status. So the chazaka on this woman, on Nisi, was that Nisi was still married to the husband. And if the husband died while married to Nisi, there's no Yibum here at all. So why don't we say, no, there is a problem, because the last thing we know about Nachris was that Nachris was an Eishes Ish. So if she's an Eishes Ish, let's factor in that Cheskes Isser here.
Maybe it's a weaker chazaka.
Okay, yeah.
Just that chazaka, there's automatically a status change with regard to this, or so maybe...
Mm-hmm.
No,
well, why do you say that, automatically a status change?
Because you can't be an Eishes Ish anymore.
Because he died.
Right.
Yeah, so that is close to what the Rashba ultimately says. If you look in the Rashba inside, so he quotes first other Rishonim, the footnotes will tell you is the Ramban. Maybe he says it inside. Wait, he quotes the Ramban that he has an answer he doesn't like, that... When it comes to Nevel and Ever Menachai, you go immediately from one to the other, because it starts off as Ever Menachai, and then you shecht it badly, if that's the case. It would go right to Nevela. But he doesn't accept that approach, because he has a reason not to take that. So he says, he thinks the difference is, that when it comes to, and we alluded to this already a day or two ago, when it comes to Nevela and Ever Menachai, they have something in common. That essentially, they are both statuses that will be fixed by Shechita. So they may be two different Yisurim, but either one, if a Maisa Shechita comes in, that will clean it up. So we don't know if a Maisa Shechita happened, if a Kashrim, so the burden of proof is to establish that there was a Maisa Shechita, and absent that, the default status that doesn't change without a Maisa Shechita is still going to happen, whether we call it Nevela or we call it Eivor Menachai. But in the case of this Yibum situation, so, like Meir is saying, we know she's not an Eishes Ish anymore. We know the husband died. So that Isser has been removed. It's not waiting for anything to be established. There's no question he's buried. There's no question, he mentions that also Ashby is dead. There's no question husband is dead. So that is not in dispute. So that, assuming that Nisi is still in the picture, if the husband is dead, then the marriage is over and Nachris could marry anyone. So in order to aser Nachris, you need to come and establish a gerushin for Nisi. And we haven't established that. So the burden of proof is on Nisi's divorce. And unless you can prove that, leave Nachris alone. Which is the language of the Gemara, the Altas Ren and Misafik. Don't prohibit her because you're not sure. Leave her alone. So, essentially, within the whole concept of Machzik and Me'isr Li'isr, we see that there are distinctions. Because the Rashba would say that Treifa should not be brought into this picture. It's specifically Nevela and Eivor Menachai that are common, that have what in common with each other. So that's why Machzik and Me'isr Li'isr. Excuse me. Thank you. So, but something like Treifa wouldn't enter into this picture. While the Shmaisa, this is in Shmaisa Hay, and Paraktes, and elsewhere, the Shmaisa assumes that Machzik and Me'isr Li'isr could also bring in Treifa. So maybe we could take the Oneg Yontif's Hesber of the whole Machlokes and just shift it over here. So what did the Oneg Yontif say yesterday? That the whole question of Machzik and Me'isr Li'isr depends on what you believe a Chazaka is. If a Chazaka is a Birur, then there's no Me'isr Li'isr. It's only the same Isr that the Chazaka has any relevance to its reality. But if you say Machzik and Me'isr Li'isr, it's because you don't care about reality, you just care about policy. But here, with this Rashba and Yevamos, you could shift that over, and you could say that no, sometimes, even Me'isr Li'isr, it might affect reality. Because these two different Yisurim, Nevela and Eivor Menachai, both would be changed by a certain reality, the impact of Shechita. And they both reflect the fact that we haven't established a shechita. So therefore, even if technically machzika meyas aliyaser, in the Rashba's own words, but it doesn't require you to hold, to just throw out the relationship of reality and a chazaka. But if you want to extend it to treifa, so then that does. So essentially, we can take the Onig Yontif's Hesber and make a nuance within it. Just to say it in one sentence, the Onig Yontif said that Machzikin Me'isa Li'isa requires you to ignore any connection between a chazaka and reality and say it's just a hanhaga. So what we're saying is, no, not necessarily. That some different Yisurim may depend on a common reality, and therefore grouping them together does not require you to disconnect chazakas from reality. And it's a pretty important point, because that's the set that we're talking about on our daf. So the Rashi on our daf that links Avram and Achai and Nevela, and the Rashba says is machzika meyasa liyasir. So daf, in that situation, we don't need to disconnect a chazaka from a fact set. It could be that in this case it connects, but if it doesn't connect, like treifa, maybe not. Except according to those, like the Shmais and others, who would say it does connect. Okay, so far so good. So then there's also a discussion to be had if you do believe that treifa is affected by this. And Tosfos, in Maseches Yevamah, you saw the Tosfos? So Tosfos there distinguishes between a treifa that was relevant to something while the animal was still alive, or a treifa that came up afterwards. What's an example of it coming up afterwards? So Tosfos talks about, let's say, had an animal that was shechted, and a wolf came and grabbed some of its organs and then brought them back. It's a kind of a elaborate kind of case. And the wolf had bitten into the organs since then. So, but now we have organs that are punctured, so maybe we should say that, oh, he just, the wolf just bit places that were already perforated. So we have a suffix if it's treifa or not. But that, there was nothing when the animal was alive that presented that question. So Tosfos draws that distinction and says that when it was a treifa from before, so then there's room to stick that into the Chezkes Isser. So some ask, I saw this discussed in a sefer called Peiris Tein. I don't know who wrote it, actually. It was just added on to HebrewBooks.org. I always check the updates and see any interesting sfaras. So it's Peiris Teina. So it's just on the last update on HebrewBooks.org. Talk about Chulin, so you got to take a look. So he discusses there that maybe what, say, Tosfos is getting at is that there really is a Chezkas Heter for an animal that's alive, but it's not a treifa. It's just that when the animal is alive, so it's an Avram and Achai, we can't use that Chezkas Heter or not for anything. So since that Chezkas Heter isn't used to establish any reality, it doesn't have any impact. But theoretically, it does exist. And that's why our Gemara says that after the animal is shechted, so it has a moment of heter, and the Avram and Achai has been removed, so then the Chezkas Heter Treifa kicks in. But if you had the issue while the animal was still alive and it never had any room to establish itself in permissive behavior, so then that chazaka just couldn't function. But if the animal was shechted already, so then it could, and that's the din ultimately that our Gemara has, that until when an animal is alive, it's considered usur until you're mevayer how it was shechted. And after it was shechted, it's considered mutter until you're mevayer whether or not it was a treifa. So that din, he says, that's what's going on, that there's really a chezkas not treifa from the beginning. But it's not able to be meaningful until the animal is shechted, because the Isser Avram and Achai gets in the way. An interesting perspective. Okay, so we have a few more minutes, so let me just try to flesh out a little bit some of the context of what I discussed yesterday, of the question of how to relate to the suffix of Zman Ma'ariv and Zman Mincha. And just very quickly, so they said that the Gemara says that there's a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda says the dividing line between Mincha and Ma'ariv is Plaga Mincha, and the Chachamim say it's dark. And the Gemara does not conclude how to paskin. Gemara says, "Hashdu leit mar hilchos olay kamar v'olay kamar, d'avid kamar avid, d'avid kamar avid." Since we don't say the halacha one way or another, you can follow either perspective. So we're not sure exactly what that means. And the poskim bring up the question of, so all right, it's apparently legitimate to daven ma'ariv before dark, after plag, and it's apparently also legitimate for someone else, at least, to daven mincha after plag, like the view of Chachamim. What if the same person wants to do this and switch off from one day to the next? Is that also legitimate? Or, even more so, what if the same person wants to do that on the same day? Wants to daven mincha after plag, following the view of Chachamim, and wants to then daven ma'ariv right afterwards, after plag but before shkia, following the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So two questions. Is it legitimate to switch off from day to day? And is it legitimate to then do even more than that, to switch off within the same day?
People do it.
Okay, that's a fair point. So saying, looking to what you know from general behavior, right, what would you say, just basing on behavior?
People often daven mincha and early ma'ariv and repeat kriya shema after.
Okay, so it seems like the minhag olam. So 2 points. So it seems like the minhag olam is to at least switch off from day to day. Within the same day, you may not be aware of it because it's not as obvious, but there's usually a greater sensitivity to not do it within the same day. And with Friday, the whole thing shifts because the mitzvah of Tosafot Shabbos, which is a competing value, so it shifts. So certainly more makel in terms of, let's say, if somebody wouldn't normally go back and forth during the week, on Friday they'd be more open to davening after plag. And those who would switch back and forth during the week, but still would be careful not to do it in the same day, so there's greater possibility of that on a Friday night, even though many are uncomfortable with that as well. So let's say you shift the whole thing over one. So we mentioned yesterday that the Stipler considered this issue in terms of two different comparisons you find in the Rishonim. So just to say very quickly, he refers to the Rush and the Meiri. That the Rush compares the question to a Gemara that appears in the Seches Erevin, where there is a machlokas Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai about a shedra to Gilgolas. It's a skull and a spine. And the question is, you have a skull and a spine of an animal, whether it's metame and it's also in terms of Hilchos Treifos. So what makes a spine deficient? How many vertebrae have to be missing in order for it to be deficient? So without getting into all the details, machlokas Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And it has nafkaminas in two directions. Because if its spine is deficient, it has a nafkamino linian kashrus, because it's a trefa. So that's a chumrah. But it also has a nafkamino linian tumavatara, because it won't be matame. That's a kula. So there's nafkaminas in two different directions. So the Gemara concludes, similar but different to what the Gemara says about Mincha Ma'ariv. The Gemara says that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, really. But if one wants to follow Beis Shammai, that's also legitimate. But then the Gemara says you should not mix and match. You shouldn't say, I'll follow the kulas of both. The Gemara calls out a rasha, unfortunately. And you shouldn't follow the kulas, you shouldn't follow the chumras of either of both either. Because to be machmir in both directions is simply illogical. And the Gemara applies that the pasuk haksil b'chayshe chaylech, a fool walks around in the dark, he doesn't know what he's doing, doesn't make any sense. So you shouldn't follow the chumras of both, you shouldn't follow the kulas of both, you should pick one. So the Rush compares the situation to that. So the Stipler says, what's the value of that comparison? There it's clear that the Gemara is talking about Pesach. It says, we recommend paskening, accepting the view of Beis Hillel, But the view of Beis Shammai is also legitimate. So if you want to believe, if you want to be a Shamuti, you want to follow the view of Beis Shammai, fine, but then hold that across the board. Now, I should point out, it's a different discussion, many point to this Gemara as talking about the whole issue of picking a posek and not being posek shopping when you have a shiloh. But it's important to appreciate this Gemara is not talking about following the kulas of one posek and the chumras of another posek or something like that. Gemara is talking about within one issue that has nafkaminas in two different directions, that it's a big problem to be makel in both ways or to be machmer in both ways. It doesn't necessarily mean that if you have different issues that you can't have different poskim for that. It's saying within this one question of the status of Shedvil Yolas, you got to pick, are you Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai guy? So in any event, that's an issue of psak. So when it comes to psak, so then you have to be consistent. You'll decide that one opinion is right and the other is less right, and you're going to follow the opinion you think is right. I say less right because Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, but one opinion is right, one opinion is less right. The Meiri, however, in the fourth parak, the Brachos, the Meiri compares it to another din. I think we spoke about this some day in recent years. I don't remember how it came up. With the Mishnah Maseches Taras, in the 10th parak of Taras. It says that there's a case of Shnei Shvilin. Let's say you have two paths to get to one destination. If you've learned Psachim, the Gemara quotes this in Daf Yud and Psachim. So you have two paths that both go to the same destination. And you know that one of them is Tameh. You don't know which one. So a man takes one of the two paths, he comes to the rabbi, says, am I Tameh or am I Torah? So the rabbi is allowed to say, Safek Tumma Bershus HaRabim is Torah. You're Torah. Let's say the next day, somebody else comes to him and says, I took path B. What's my story? So we know they can't both be tar because there's tumah on one of them. Yet, nonetheless, the rabbi still tells the second guy he's tar also. How could that be? Because apparently we're applying a rule of safek tumah b'rishus haravim. That, like we alluded to yesterday in talking about safek rabbanan, it's not a statement of fact. It doesn't mean to tell us anything about what we have figured out about the reality here. It's a policy that the Safek Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim, you're allowed to be Mekel. So both people were allowed to be Mekel, even though we know they can't both actually be taught. Each time we're allowed to apply the policy of Safek Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim. Now the Mishnah also says if they both come together, they take a race, and then they end at the common point, and they say, okay, I took A, he took B, what's our story? So then the Mishnah says that then you can't apply this. So Tosfos and Masechet Psachim.
Isn't that just because it looks bad on Beis Din?
So Tosfos and Psachim says that it's a Din D'Rabbanan. That essentially a Tarta D'Sasri, Machmer and D'Rabbanan, that Min HaTorah you should be able to say the same logic. If we can handle saying today you're Tar and yesterday the other guy's also Tar, so we can handle it at the same time too. It's not any bigger of a stira. It's just a Din D'Rabbanan that we can't say them both at the same time. I thought maybe you could say more than that. You could say that maybe it's more of a din there because the question is different. That when each guy comes to you by himself, his question is, am I Tahar or am I Tamin? So then you have the right to say, Safek Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim. If the two come together, the question is, which one of us is Tahar, which one of us is Tamin? So now there's no kula, there's no chumra. So it's the framing of the question makes all the difference. But in any event, so bottom line is you can't apply this idea. So the Meiri compares that to this case, and I'll let you go in a minute. So what's the relevance of that comparison, says the Stipler? The relevance is because that case is a case of Suffolk. It's not a case of Psak. So here, when it comes to the question of Tefillah, maybe also it's about Suffolk. They're talking about it in the Rabbanan, so maybe it's a case of Suffolk to Rabbanan Lakula. And essentially, the same way, you can say one thing today and one thing tomorrow. So it's legitimate for you to daven like Rabbi Yehuda today and like Rabbanan tomorrow. Now, to do it on the same day, so then maybe that's like the last din in the Mishnah that, no, that you shouldn't do. That's a tarat to the sasre. That's not proper. But to switch off from today and yesterday, when it's not all in the same eye shot, so then that could be permissible. So essentially, that's how the Stipler analyzes the issue, by looking at these two different comparisons, different Rishonim bring, to how the issue is addressed. So if Levi is correct, that our practice is that we do allow flipping from one day to the next, so then maybe it means we see it as a suffix. So one ramification of seeing it as a suffix is that we should not apply it to Kriya Shema. And Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam on the first daf in Brachos and applies it to Kriya Shema. So that might be an impact of seeing it that way. It's also pointed out, to mention another of our favorite machabrim, so Rav Nosson Gishtetner has a tshuva where he points out that it's not really clear that you should call it a kula, to say that, okay, we're mekel to let you daven mincha late, and we're mekel to let you daven ma'ariv early. We're talking about a positive mitzvah here, a mitzvah d'rabbanan. We're talking about a positive mitzvah. So to say that you have more time to do it, so that's really a chumrah. I say it's a greater time of chiyuv. He's just kind of highlighting that sometimes we're using kula in a non-halachic sense, because we're saying that, oh, giving me more time to daven when it's more convenient for me is a kula. But really, halachically, it's not a kula. It means that at this time you have a chiyuv to do a mitzvah, which otherwise you wouldn't have. So it's just an interesting point that the language of kula and chumra here and that whole dynamic is maybe not really the proper way of looking at that particular issue, which just also adds to some of the complexity of how you look at such things. Like, for example, somebody misses a day of Sfira, so we say you can't make the bracha anymore, and you feel like the big chumrah because you feel bad about missing, as you should. You know, you feel bad about missing out the bracha, and you do should feel bad, but l'maisa, it's a principle of kula. It's a principle of suffik derabanan l'kula. So we say, because we're not sure, you should leave the bracha out. That's called halachically a kula, even though it feels like a chumrah. So that's just a note about that. Okay, so God willing, next thing up for tomorrow, I'll give you new makaris for tomorrow. So we'll try the next two topics on the agenda. Why are we not happy about that rove, or why is Tosfos not happy about that rove shechita is good, and then to go on to Chamira Sakanta Meisur. Okay, I wish everyone a wonderful day.